This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to the show that goes behind the headlines. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han, and our guest Joyce Goh, Senior Editor with The Edge. Welcome and good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
You know, we haven't had Pressing Matters for 2 weeks running now because of public holidays.
Yes.
And we put out a poll, Joyce, this morning, and we asked our listeners, do we have too many public holidays? And, you know, over 140 people have voted. 38% say yes, we have too many public holidays. And 62% say no.
Ah.
Joyce, what would you choose? I mean, do you think we have too many
public
holidays?
I'll go with the majority.
You go
with
the majority.
That's
a no. We do not have too many public holidays.
I still wonder what is going through the minds of that, 38%?
Maybe they're the bosses learn.
Oh,
big
yeah, maybe.
Bosses.
Yeah, because it's hurting our productivity.
All these people all don't want to work.
Well, hey, well, fine then. The big bosses then can then go into work on the public holidays and start off with this Wednesday then.
Okay.
How about that?
I voted yes, we have too many public holidays.
I vote yes.
But,
okay, but I'm not a boss. Okay, moving on. We have a cursor story around what was otherwise a tepid stock. Rev Asia has seen a spike in interest, and perhaps on the back of talk that Media Prima is going to acquire some of its digital assets. Joyce, you wrote a story in The Edge about this. Well, what's going on?
Okay, I wrote about the stock of Rev Asia with my colleague Billy Toh on Friday. So we ran the story for Saturday print on how Rev Asia, you can see a spike in interest in the stock, because you can see it, the stock soared like 25 times in just 4 trading days last week.
25%.
And the trading volume jumped 241% in just 4 days. That's a lot, you know. And so they requested for a trading suspension of its shares. And we found out that they could be in talks to divest one of their digital media assets. So this printed on Saturday.
Something like this, this kind of movement, considered unusual movement on the stock market, doesn't it trigger something with the stock market?
Yes. The stock moves. So it's likely that something could be brewing. Because if you track the stock, if you look at our article, you see the stock chart, it was quite like, you know, a straight line, and then suddenly you see it spike so much.
Yeah, so this chart goes between May 9th and May.
It's a 1 year chart. But the stock started running already. If year to date, it's up 48.5%. But if you look at just the 4 days of last week, it went up 25%, which is a lot. And the trading volume went up so much. And they could be in talks to divest the digital asset, like what we wrote on Saturday. And
right.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say something is brewing because, you know, as it stands, we've got Rev Asia and Media Prima, you know, both their shares
have been suspended
today.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, we'll just have to keep an eye out for, you know, what kind of bursa announcements, you know, either of these, companies make then. But I think it's also interesting with the tag, the price tag of, and this is now segueing into a report today from the Star.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that interesting that the Star is actually reporting on this story?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's interesting because?
Because, well, you're going to say or I'm going to say.
Okay. I think because Star actually has a 3.7% stake in Rev Asia.
Mm. Is that significant, Joyce? I mean, because, well, you know, from a layperson's point of view, 3.7% doesn't sound like very much.
But nevertheless, you know, you are still holding stock in that particular company in question, though. I think it's perhaps an editorial stance, or editorial decision, maybe.
But to describe just the bare facts of a case, is that, would that be a conflict of interest? I'm going to name the elephant in the room now.
I mean, they have a stake in Rev Asia. That's a fact. So they have a stake. It's a 3.7% stake.
Yeah.
And it's substantial enough to be in the annual report of Rev Asia.
Right.
So they are a substantial shareholder. I mean, as in, like, if you check the annual report of Rev Asia, as of April 2017, Star Media owns a 3.7% stake. The other shareholders include Catcher Group. And also, there's also, there's a Lister.
Yeah, and I think Catcher Group is the bigger one because they own over 60% of the shares in Rev. But I think, okay, now going back to this purported deal in question, you've got some pretty interesting names here, some websites with household content. Anyone here heard of Sirap Limau?
I've ordered it many times.
I think they also have things like Says.com, Juice, and Obulan.
Right.
According to our that we wrote into our article on Saturday, they have, when we were doing research on it, on Rev Asia, they have a combined reach of about 5 million people a month. with a very young demographic.
That's the number of Twitter followers you have, right, Gerard?
So maybe you can sell your Twitter.
100 million,
that's right. You build the base, and then you sell.
Joyce and I, we'll be consultants.
Yes.
Is it this demographic that's what, which is going to determine the value of these the purchases?
I think it's a good base, yeah.
So some of the numbers that are being bandied about, some 100 million ringgit. Where's that number come from?
Well, you know,
100 million for the purchases.
That's the article today that came out in Star.
Yeah, from the Star. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's you know, these websites, you know, not just Sirap Limau, which is supposedly the number one. Okay, I'll just read it in Malay. Web nombor satu menggabungkan tips untuk ibu bapa, anak dan keluarga. Cie, not bad.
Which means, Mr. Boy, from
so
Kelang.
The number one website to menggabungkan, I guess, connect tips for parents, kids, and families. You know, so you've got that kind of demographic that they're targeting. But there are other websites, you know, like Kongsi Recipe and MyRecipe.com. Those are obviously, you know, for sharing recipes. So, you know, you've got the very domesticated theme going on.
They also got Viral Charm and Rojak La, which they bought in August last year. I mean, they're buying and building all these websites. And then, of course, the base, the platform, I guess. At the end of the day, is the base. That's where the premium lies.
Okay,
right?
You know, so this sounds like a great deal for Rev Asia. They bought this thing, they built it, now they're going to sell it for a good profit. But the question is, from the Media Prima side of it, how is Media Prima doing? And is this a good buy for them? I mean, are they spending too much money on this, potentially?
I mean, it has not been announced yet.
Okay,
but
I'm not sure, but
I think it depends on if they are buying it, I'm sure they will have their reasons for it.
Right.
I don't think they'll just... Because when was the last... I cannot remember the last acquisition they did.
Yeah, but I mean, just going back to these websites in particular, and I go to back to an Edge article, apparently Rev Asia actually just bought those websites for about 2.65 million.
Sirap Limau, My Recipe, and Kongsi Recipe.
Right.
But things like Says.com and Obulan, it's been with them for a while.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, yeah. So, I mean, so you got at least three of those websites listed in your article there, Joyce. Now, three of them, those Malay content websites, they apparently went for just 2.65 million ringgit. I mean, so is the other 97, 98 million coming from the other websites, or perhaps the growth that they have achieved just over the last 4 months? Because they apparently, according to this Edge article, just acquired them back in December, just right before Christmas.
Yeah, but I think the bulk of their base comes from Says.com and Bulan and all that. Yeah, but we also, I think, need to look at other digital, because we're talking about digital kind of acquisitions, right? So maybe other digital acquisitions that happened recently, or I think what I can think of, maybe JobStreet or what. It really depends on the valuations, and we need to know the earnings, because I think they're buying the asset if they are. I mean, I think Rev Asia is selling the asset from what we understand. Mm. I'm not talking about the listed company.
Right.
Right.
And now also, I mean, Sharad, you raise a good point there, because let's say we look at it from a Media Prima side here, and I think Joyce, in your article, you mentioned this as well, because Media Prima did see a net loss last year. If I'm looking at the
my article,
I think previous articles.
Oh
yeah,
is
right.
It? Okay.
You know, so because I mean, just looking at some numbers here, last year Media Prima lost over 59 million ringgit. You compare that with 2015, they actually saw a net profit of 140 million ringgit. So that was quite the turnaround. So you're seeing Media Prima, you know, essentially having to find those new drivers of growth, right? No longer can they just rely on those traditional, forms of media, be it TV, radio.
They are diversifying. Oh,
right.
Actually, their radio business is doing well.
Right. No, but it's like, where do you go from here?
Advertising, and they do have a digital arm, a Media Prima digital arm that does apps, and I think they're looking into. You can see that Media Prima is trying to diversify.
Exactly.
A lot of media groups are trying to diversify their revenue streams.
And this goes back to your recent article Astro as well,
yes,
right? Because
yes.
They were trying to go about diversifying as well, right?
Mm. Well, you know, the question is, we're speculating here a bit. When will we know the details? Is there any sense?
I think
sense
it should be soon, like early this week, I think, yeah.
Oh, just said today. She said early this week.
Well, I mean, because their shares are suspended today, you know, both of them. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's
today. So is this pre-Visa or post-Visa, do you think? What's your guess?
Pre la.
Pre. Yeah. So that means only today or tomorrow
if
left.
If it all goes well, should be la.
Yeah, we start Wednesday la.
Okay, we'll be back with more on Pressing Matters after this. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines. We have our guest, Joyce Goh, Senior Editor at The Edge, and of course, myself, Sharad Kutin, and Tan Chung Han. We've been looking at Rev Asia, formerly Catcher Media, or Catcher Media. And now, you know, in the crosshairs for a lot of media because of the possibility of that Media Prima might be purchasing some of their digital assets for a hefty sum, and that's excited the markets. An otherwise tepid stock.
Yeah, and so the Media Prima connection only came about today given the Star Media's report, and keeping in mind Star owns about a 3-4% stake in Rev Asia. But to be fair, credit to Joyce and The Edge here, they ran this story even before the Star's article today, and it came out over the weekend, right?
Oh, we ran on Rev Asia's stock. So and that they'll be in talks to sell
So
when you see smoke, Joyce, when you see smoke, you assume there's some fire going on.
Potentially, yes. But I think we had to check and make sure that it's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And so we're also looking at some announcement this week, whether before or after Vesak, that will help settle the rumors and we'll know exactly what's going down.
They will have to announce something before they lift the suspension.
Correct.
Yeah. So all eyes will be on that. Yes.
Okay. Now, and also another story in the media, because that has to do with Village Grocer and BIG Supermarkets.
Well, yeah, so I think... Joyce, you wrote this story, I think, recently, a few weeks ago. But I think it's an important one because, you know, it's in line with, you know, how, say, you know, the grocery shopping space, you know, is in vogue, you know, despite the slowdown that we often see, right, you know, when it comes to consumer spending. So give us the details of this article, this deal here in relation to BIG and Village Grocer.
Basically, we heard that Navis is expanding into the premium grocery shopping space by acquiring BIG, Ben's Independent Grocer chain from... this is through its majority-owned subsidiary Village Grocer Holdings Sdn Bhd. Because Navis owns... I mean, has a big stake in Village Grocers, and Village Grocers Holdings is the one that bought big.
Mm. Now, I think this is, once again, interesting because, you know, when you consider Navis's...
Navis also has a stake in BIG, actually. It's just consolidating everything, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fascinating. Yes. But nevertheless, you know, I guess given that they are a PE firm, right, Navis?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think looking at their portfolio here on their website, you know, if you look at the investments made by Navis, I mean, you've got 4 pages of results to go through. Everything from, say, Brickfield's Asia College, Village Grocer, like you mentioned, you know, and a whole host of other names here. Pretty fascinating stuff. You know, so it'd be interesting to see what their strategy is, you know, for this particular segment, you know, post-consolidation,
yes,
right?
There'll be a lot of synergies and we're looking at cost. I mean, they're going to save on cost and all that. But from what I understand, the management of BIG Supermarket and the management of Village Grocers will remain the same. Mm. But I guess there are a lot of synergies between them. They can do like cost sharing, they buy stock and all that. So there's a lot of, it makes sense, I guess, the deal.
This has been going on for a while, right? Because Navis has had them since 2014, and them being that stake in Village Grocer, I believe. So, you know, here we are, less than 3 years later, and they're now moving to consolidate. You know, I mean, besides synergies, are there plans to maybe get rid of one brand? Like, do you have any idea?
I do not have an idea on that. Mm. But I think they're keeping it separate from
keeping
what I understand.
Separate,
yeah. Following the transaction, Navis will hold a bigger stake in BIG Supermarket, while the founding shareholders of BIG Group will hold a small stake in the enlarged Village Grocer Group. So that's what I understand. Then the present management of BIG will continue to run the chain, and both supermarket brands will continue to run on their separate brandings. That's what the source told me before the news broke. That was what we understand. Yes.
You know, every time I read something about retail, that seems to be a story about the challenges of brick and mortar against online shopping, right? And I'm wondering to what extent these supermarket chains, you know, whether the ones we're talking about or others, have really come to terms with online shopping and promoted the possibility of online shopping for urban dwellers, you know, in the peninsula in particular.
I think they do delivery. They do tie-ups with some, like, Honestbee or something. They do have deliveries. And I think this space, from what I understand from some people in the retail scene, they still see potential in the premium grocery shopping industry. Like, people are still going to these kind of supermarkets to buy, depending on the goods and the products, right?
Why is that? Is that because they want to meet people in the aisle?
I mean,
Meet for yourself.
Networking possibilities.
I don't know.
Between the gherkins and...
I don't go to the supermarket
to meet people. Look, sure, I mean, it's 2017, buddy. There's this thing called Tinder. You know, you can try that. You don't have to go to the grocery store to meet people now.
I just mean, you know,
maybe that's what Sherrod, you don't know, right?
But what about the experience?
Is that why you don't pick up your phone on the weekends? Is that what's going on?
The shopping experience, and I think the products as well, the different things are some of the things that you find in these supermarkets you can't find, like, before they came to Malaysia, you couldn't find it in Malaysia. You had to perhaps fly to Australia or London to get it, right?
And that's a good point. So, you know, despite all this, I mean, when we see the ringgit now, you know, falling to 4.33, it's a long ways away from that 3.2 or even that 3.8 that we were so accustomed to a couple of years ago, you know. Yet, like Joyce, you rightly pointed out, you know, at least in Navis's eyes, there's still plenty of opportunity in this premium space. You know, so what does it tell you about, maybe there's a disconnect between all this noise about inflation and consumer spending power. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are downward pressures on consumer spending. But at least, you know, given this kind of corporate movements, looks like that space will still be resilient despite all those pressures, right? Inflation, ringgit, etc.
Okay, I'm not going to try and defend my superficiality, and my love of packaging and reading the fine print on the label. Because you read the fine print on the label, don't you?
What?
The ingredients.
Why? No. Dude, I've got better things to do with my time, man.
Okay, so talking about me being superficial, front cover of The Edge, we have CIMB Group CEO Tunku Dato' Sri Zafrul Aziz.
Yeah, this was 2 weekends ago, right?
But no, last week's cover, yes.
Yeah, 2 weekends
ago. Okay, so why was he on your front page?
We had an exclusive interview with him, and he spoke about... where are they now for the T18? They're halfway through, and what's next? And I think he spoke a lot about, and also the new culture for CIMB moving forward. But
new corporate culture?
Yes.
And how did he characterize this new corporate culture?
No, like, it's all about the people and how forward is CIMB's evolution. So they've had ASEAN for you for 8 years, and then now they're transitioning to forward. So they're changing. Yeah, it's about moving forward, moving from an investment bank to a universal bank to a regional universal bank. And today they need to move forward for their customers as well as moving forward for their stakeholders and staff and shareholders. So it's more about the people and what they're doing, focusing on the customers. And the story is about how it's also about how they have moved to also bring in the consumer banking segment into, like, it's playing a bigger role. And I think what's interesting also is on the inorganic growth that is back on their radar post T18. I think to me that's...
Inorganic?
Yeah, so that's new news. I mean, he has not spoken about this before this. And recently through our interview with him, we asked him, so what's next? And he was very candid. He was very frank and he told us that once they cross the finishing line of T18, which is end of next year, they'll probably have to look at growth because T18 is about re-collaboration, consolidating the business and focusing on areas where they are strong. After that, maybe it's time to look at growth again. You know, before that, it's always cut, right? Now. And then now, and they're divesting their non-core assets, you know, and then suddenly now he's talking about growth. So I thought that was very interesting. I mean, that is new news, right? They've not talked about this before. And when I asked him if this will involve mergers and acquisitions, I worked on this story with Esther Lee, my colleague. And when we asked him, you know, if this involves merger and acquisitions, Zafrul says that it will. We cannot discount that.
Yeah, and I think this will be interesting moving forward as well because, you know, given the kind of pain that CIMB saw with CIMB Niaga in Indonesia, right, over the last couple of years, although to be fair, you know, it seems like they've made a turnaround now, but, you know, I wonder what kind of lessons they would have learned from CIMB Niaga and in Indonesia.
Yes, and how they will do, how differently they might, or, I mean, it depends. CIMB Niaga also perhaps the environment there and how things turn there as well. And I also asked whether the group will reconsider a merger with another bank here in Malaysia.
Ooh.
And he said not today. I was very excited, please say yes. But he said not today.
That was 2 weeks ago, so maybe today, you know, maybe it could be different.
But he says, if you ask me where we will see growth, it will be in countries where we are subscale. So in Malaysia, he says they have the scale. Same goes for Indonesia. It will be countries where they don't have the scale. And he gave examples like the Philippines, Vietnam, and Thailand. Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, real quick, because you cover a lot of banks, you know, so you hear this T18 from CIMB, Maybank has their something 20, you know, all these other attempts to reorganize and become more lean, right? I wonder if this theme can be extended to all the other, you know, well, maybe say the big four, whereby once they're done, you know, throwing a kitchen sink at their banks, they can then look for growth. It's not just CIMB, perhaps, even Maybank. Yeah, you know.
Depending on the environment also, I guess.
Well, we're going to have you back to continue the story. You've been listening to Joyce Goh, Senior Editor of The Edge. Thank you so much for being with us this morning and putting in your vote on that Twitter poll.
I will.
Okay. And Tan Chung Han and myself, Sherrod Kutin, we're coming up to the news. And after that, Enterprise, that's us from The Morning Run. Keep listening. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.